In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. According to Father Alexander Schmemann, each feast day, something unique breaks into this world. Something from the true world as God created it to be. There's a difference between what happens and what is celebrated and how we participate in a feast day as compared to a secular holiday. Father Schmemann points out that secular holidays have to do with our links to this world. It might be a national holiday like the 4th of July. It might be a holiday like Thanksgiving. And it's not that it's bad and feast days are good, but secular holidays celebrate our union with, our oneness with, and even to a certain degree our bondage to the things of this world. Our country, the family we were born into, all of our relatives, aunts, uncles, extended family. It has to do with the world of the flesh. Not that it's anything wrong with it or evil about it, but it is not a transcending of this world. It is a celebration of our ties to the world, and those are good and real and important. But it's very different from what we celebrate when we celebrate a feast day like the feast of the entrance of the Theotokos. Here we're celebrating something that breaks into this world and gives us a way of life that is beyond this world, beyond even the fixed stars, like Polaris that the mariners used to use to guide themselves. Those were beyond the world, but they were still created things. In a feast day, something breaks into our lives in this world that comes directly from God himself. The events, historically, of this feast are very simple. A young girl is brought to the temple by her parents. Children were brought by their parents to the temple all of the time. It wasn't anything unusual. It wasn't anything unique. Their parents would take them to the temple so that they could be close to the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, so that they would have some sense of the ultimate meaning of life. But here with the entering into the temple of Mary, the Theotokos, the one who is going to be the mother of Jesus Christ, through whom God enters into and shares our humanity and makes himself one of us. This is something unique. The celebration of this event is the celebration of our salvation. When we sing about this feast day, there's a point where we say, the most pure temple of the Savior enters into the temple of the Lord God. It's not just a means for God to enter into the world that we're talking about when we talk about the entrance of the temple of the Savior. We're talking about a human being, a woman with a name, a particular person, a young child, a girl, is taken by the hand of the priest and led into the Holy of Holies. It doesn't happen, but it was done. It doesn't happen that God enters into the world through the womb of a woman and is born into the world as a man, as a human being. But it did happen. We're not just celebrating it as a historical event, that is unique and different. We are celebrating the reality of our salvation, not as something that God simply does as God, but he breaks into the ordinary world of history, the ordinary world of our lives, and he does something unimaginable. We are going to be temples of the living God. It's not something that we just have on our own. There are, at our end of history, and it takes a long time to explain how things became this distorted, there are many people who just simply claim that to be a human being is to have a divine spark. It has to do with our humanity. The idea that we have a value over and above all things as persons is true. But we're celebrating the event that made that the truth. The reason for our ultimate value as human beings is that we are created to be temples of the Savior, temples of the Holy One, temples of the Son of God. He doesn't simply save us from outside. He enters into our humanity by being born of this now young girl whose entrance into the temple we're celebrating. It's something that's very difficult to get our heads around. We will try to understand it by reducing it down to something that fits into our daily lives, something that is ordinary, something that is everyday, something that doesn't have the complete and total involvement of each one of us as a human being, but it does. We in the modern world are so used, so accustomed to thinking of each one of us as isolated individuals who create our own world of meaning that is frankly imaginary. We've lost any sense of the fact that you and I and all human beings are of a kind. We are human beings as human beings. We're not simply isolated individuals. We share a common human nature. Even that idea is denied today. People have the sense that each one of us is so completely unique that we have nothing to do with any other human being. We don't share a common human nature. When we say that, it may seem surprising, but the fact of the matter is that that way of thinking stands behind so much. It explains so much of the sense of alienation that young people feel. The pressure to create themselves, create some image of themselves, so that they know who they are, because they put that image of themselves together, and then they believe in it. It came about as a substitute for faith in God. It came about with the loss of any sense that we share a common humanity. That it's never a matter of me and them, or even us and the rest of the human race. It's always a matter of the fact that each one of us is a member of the human race. Each one of us shares in common our human nature. And God entered into that human nature. And he made it possible for us as human beings to share his divine and human nature. That was something that broke into this world when Mary entered into the temple and dedicated herself to a life that would bring her to the point where, when Gabriel came and told her what God had planned and had been planning and had prepared her for, she accepted it in a way that we have not accepted to enter through all of those who have united themselves from the beginning of the Christian faith to Christ in a physical and bodily way. We hold back. We fail to enter. We fail to live as the living temples of the Savior. We want Christ to enable us to be ourselves in isolation. We've forgotten the fact that, number one, we are not in isolation, we are members of the rest of the human species. It's a complete delusion for us to call out to God to enter into me. Save me as myself in isolation from all of the others. That's how distant we are. We're not even ready to hear the meaning of this feast day. Father Schmemann points out that before Christian faith, human religion has always been about the experience of the mysterium tremendum, of the vast and incomprehensible mystery that is the Holy One, God. To be in his presence is to be destroyed, because we are only creatures, beings that are created, and we can't bear up under the presence of God. With the entrance of the Theotokos, with the entrance of the temple of the Savior into the temple of the Lord, all of that is changed, Father Schmemann emphasizes. Now, the ultimate dwelling place of God is in the human person. God reveals the meaning of being a human person to us. It is a holy thing, something that can't fail to blast the less than pure and holy that is in us if only we could open ourselves to it. Father Schmemann points out that this is how God has created us. Whether we accept it or not, whether we like it or not, whether we choose to affirm it or not, this is what it means to be a human being. To be someone who abandons our primary love of the world and enters into the temple in order to be the temple of the Savior. She was the first because God intended to do this as a historical event, an actual reality in this world. And that is the meaning of this feast. If we accept this freedom from death, then we are able to live free lives. But the fact of the matter is that most of the time, we would rather that God remain distant. That he remain so distant that we can continue to live a life that is centered on the things of the world and the illusion that we are first of all, because in our own mind and heart, we are first of all. We would rather have God be so distant that we can just call out to him to help us to be able to live in this world without him, instead of accepting what he decided to do. He decided to come into the world of humankind and reveal the meaning of being a human person to us. And any one of us, every one of us, as Orthodox Christians, this is what we are baptized into, committed to cleanse ourselves as we were cleansed physically in the waters of baptism, to cleanse ourselves of anything that keeps us forgetting who we are, and to accept this calling of being a human being through the presence of God in us bodily. We do the communion physically. We come, we receive the body and blood of Christ into our bodies, and don't we realize that we do this in order to be holy as God is holy. We do long as the human beings that God has created, Father Schmemann says, to be swept up into a better, a perfect world, a more holy world, a world that fulfills all of our needs and desires for holy and spiritual things. And we have to be true to that ultimate desire for the ultimate things of life, even though we live in a mundane, everyday world, and we live and do mundane, everyday things. We have those feast days to remember, not days of holiday that bind us to the world, but days that remind us of the ultimate meaning and purpose that is our lives, that goes always beyond this world, that lifts us up, cleanses us inside of ourselves, and sustains us no matter how difficult our everyday lives in this world might be. Because all of things have already been overcome. And if we have that oneness of life with God through Christ, we have something that can't be touched by the despair of this world. Despair comes, we repent and we return to that holiness, to that quietness, to that eternal place within us. This spiritual freedom is what we celebrate on the feast day of the entrance of the Theotokos into the temple. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.